Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this evening's planning meeting on Monday, the 18th of December 2017 at 6 p.m. Before I start, can I first of all say that Councillor Geoff Traill has sent his apologies this evening, so a member's happy that Councillor Maddie Chapman acts as my vice chairman this evening. Thank you. Also, this evening, it's the first time, I think, for some of you that we've been in this new town hall chamber, and we've all got microphones, as you see in front of you. Now, for us to be able to record the meeting, we need to make sure that everybody turns their microphone on when they wish to speak. Otherwise, we won't be able to record what everybody has said this evening. So if you could do that for me, that'd be great. All right, I'll now move on to the meeting. Apologies for absence I've received from Councillor Geoff Traill and Councillor Fred Cagill. Are there any other apologies? Okay, thank you. Now move on to the public speaking session of this evening's meeting. I have a number of speakers that all want to speak in respect of one application, and that is 17/2944 Full, which is on the addendum, which is in respect of land at Queen's Drive, east of the Ocean Building. In view of that, I would ask members if they are happy that I move that particular application as the first item on this evening's meeting.
Yes.
Members happy? Thank you. So we'll move on to the public speaking section of the meeting, where I'll take representations from the members that wish to speak before we actually discuss the application I've mentioned. Members wishing to speak have up to 3 minutes, and I would ask if they can just begin by confirming their representation by stating if they are supporting or objecting to the application. I would also ask speakers, if possible, that you don't repeat yourselves, that if somebody has already made the point, if you've got other points to make, then perhaps you make those so that you've got make full use of the time that you have available in this public speaking session. I therefore will start with, is Daphne Currier here? Right, I'll ask Daphne Currier if she would address the planning committee, please.
Hello. I'm speaking against the permanent filling in of the boating lake and boating pool on the Queen's Drive site. Imagine repurposing this site as Exmouth's water garden food court in support of the council's decision to invite pop-up food stalls onto this zone of the old play park. Consider stepping down into the now empty boating lake, then look around to find really attractive planting at the edges with palm trees in pots, colourful canna lilies, and bamboo screens in a circle around the temporary seating benches envisaged by the council. This would make a really lovely place to sit and eat, with the additional advantage of having a central litter collection point to contain any rubbish from the food stalls and prevent it from spreading. In this sheltered position, it could also have a modern canopy structure overhead to provide additional cover. All the various food stalls could be set out around the higher edges of the site in full view of the public. The smaller boating pool could be cleaned out and filled with goldfish and water lilies. With a fountain in the middle, this could make a really attractive feature to draw people into the water garden food court. As well as saving the council the cost of filling in the lakes, it would mean they could be potentially redeveloped. The addition of shallow steps inside the larger one could make it into a children's paddling pool or splash pool, or drained out, it could be quickly converted into an outdoor area for theatrical use or for the placing of a skating rink in the winter months. To install such a facility as these two lakes would cost millions. The idea of a water garden food court could save the cost of infilling the pond and at the same time offer potential development to the council at little cost to create their own attraction and hopefully to revive interest in the seafront and fill the council coffers at the same time as offering the people of Exmouth a water-based leisure facility for the less able and hopelessly unsporty like myself. I would like to welcome my visitors to Exmouth Water Garden Food Court on the same theme as the Water Sports Centre on the seafront, where we could sit down in lovely surroundings to enjoy local seafood and ice cream. Thank you.
Is Mr. Mark Meyer, please.
Thank you, Chair. Mark Meyer, I'm a local Exmouth resident, and I find myself broadly neutral in terms of this application. I'll go on to explain why. The application in its current form is perhaps in a necessarily generalised format. I would urge councillors and planners to demand much greater detail as to the specific nature of the planned attractions before giving the green light for these developments to go ahead. It's undoubtedly positive there are plans being submitted for the use of this site, given it has been unoccupied and derelict since the forced fun park closure in September of this year. It's also positive that as part of the proposals in the application, there is reference to the provision of a children's play area, which will be provided to children and families free of charge. I'd hope councillors and officers would, however, give close scrutiny to the actual plans submitted to ensure the costs are well controlled, kept within budget. My understanding is currently approximately £150,000 is being allocated from East Devon within the tender documents. It's worth commenting there were already play facilities on this site which did not cost the council anything to run, potentially brought in an income and provided employment to local people. If play facilities are constructed, who is responsible for the maintenance and ensuring ongoing health and safety checks? If this is to fall to the council, this should be reflected in the budget. Given these facilities are provided for children, the precise nature of amenities needs to be provided, including type, materials used, height, and all health and safety considerations. The council should demand a much higher level of detail, given the responsibility it has to safeguard the intended users and the duty of care owed. In terms of other proposed uses of the site, in relation to food outlets, it may not be a planning consideration, but it is yet to be established as a viable all-year-round proposed usage of the site. Food outlets are likely to bring issues such as litter, etc. What is the plan to ameliorate these impacts? A big screen may be an interesting addition to Exmouth, but given this is open air, what's the case for this to be used all-year-round in the absence of any significant events to screen at all times of the year? Given the likely usage for the 2018 World Cup, what impact assessment is being done on the likely consumption of alcohol, crowd numbers, need for policing in the area during such events? What's the likely noise impact of such a facility, both from the screen and the crowds watching? Again, more details of design and materials used need to be provided. I note positively there is some consideration for environmental measures as they relate to rare plant species on the site. I would, however, urge a wider scrutiny of the site as a whole and the need to retain as much green space, including grass, trees and foliage, as possible given the prominence of the site within the seafront and proximity to areas of environmental significance. I'd be concerned that if too much of the area is given over to concrete, without proper and adequate drainage, a flood risk may be increased. While the amenities are meant to be temporary, without careful management, the damage could be permanent. I note the timeline for these amenities to operate is from March next year, the same time proposed for the works on road realignment and car parking to commence. One of the main reasons given for preventing the previous fun park operating on a temporary licence in September was the concerns for health and safety of the members of the public using the fun park site during planned construction. This objection seems to have disappeared from the submitted plans, and I would hope measures are put in place to satisfy any health and safety concerns that result. Thank you for your time.
And our third speaker is Mr. Nick Hookway, please.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Nick Hookway. I'm a local resident, and I am speaking against the planning application. Like many residents, I read with alarm the latest proposals for the Phase 3 of the Queen's Drive site. In my view, this is yet another example of the woolly thinking that has characterised the whole issue of Queen's Drive. The idea of slicing up the site with three categories of attractions is not only a recognition of the validity of the arguments put forward by SES in recent months, it also shows the disgust of residents in losing a popular, successful and much valued fun park, but it's also a panic measure by the District Council in a rather vain and pathetic attempt to deflect criticism over the handling of this project in the most iconic part of Exmouth. I have grave concerns about cost control. I have seen sums of £150,000 and also £300,000. I don't know which is true, but either does not seem to offer good value for money for residents. It does seem to be a lot of money for 1 year's use of so-called temporary attractions. And I also question the fact, will these attractions be there for just 1 year or for more than 1 year? We've heard nothing about a business plan again from the council. We have no idea how much money it's going to generate, and we know have no idea where they're going to fund it from. I am not happy with the idea of more food outlets being put on Queen's Drive. We already have plenty of underused food outlets in the Ocean Building, a building subsidised by local residents. Why do we need more there? And I am concerned also about the impact of placing more food outlets on businesses in the Strand and the town centre. I would also suggest that the best place for a large screen to show World Cup matches is actually in the Strand, where there is already plenty of space and there are also plenty of bars and food outlets to service the needs of spectators. This application also seeks to remove the ponds from the site. That's already been the subject of an application that was turned down. And I am not happy that the council is trying to yet again remove these ponds in a rather devious and manipulative way. I am also deeply concerned about the environmental damage that will take place on this site. The Reserved Matters application that was passed in mid-April had a considerable and substantial environmental mitigation section. How are we going to make sure that this site is protected in the same way as it was under the Reserved Matters application? Finally, why is this application so late? Why are we having to discuss it and write about it over the Christmas period? The plan is to start operating in March. I think that is pushing it somewhat, and I trust that this council won't be browbeaten into approving this application without giving due consideration. Thank you.
And our final speaker is Jane Ashton, please.
Okay. Good evening. I'm not really speaking against, but some of the aspects I'm certainly not in favour of. The application for temporary attractions is on a site that was previously all available for outdoor play activities for young people and families to take part in together. I want to focus on the word activities. It seems that less than one third of that site is now being made available for physical activity as such. So far, proposals for the red zone and the blue zone are for sedentary experiences. More seating around eating and drinking areas, a big screen, and, I imagine, the return of the observation wheel. 10 to 15 minutes standing in a queue and 10 minutes sitting down. It's a good experience, but it's not active. Children need to be active. Their parents need them to be active. I, for one, am not against having a big screen temporarily somewhere in Exmouth. I am against having it located on the seafront. It is completely out of character with that area. I'm not a football fan. I do happen to like loud rock music, though. Live screenings of Glastonbury, maybe? Would some people like that? No, and I would never expect to inflict my personal interests and taste upon residents and holidaymakers who are here because of its unspoilt and relaxing beachfront. Live screenings of rugby, why not at the rugby ground? Live screenings of other things, possibly in Manor Gardens. Town councillors received notice of this addendum to the agenda on Friday afternoon. Are they expected to have read and digested the details of that application at such short notice? Have they and the public been given a fair chance to consider the implications? And, as Daphne said earlier, to consider some of the positive and the creative alternatives, like not filling in the pond. We're often accused of being negative, but we have lots and lots of positive ideas and never given the chance to get them out in time. It's rarely been what is being done that alarms the public, but the way in which it's being done. East Devon District Council have not given our elective representatives on this council a fair chance here. This led to me phoning a councillor on Sunday, and I'm not being sarcastic when I say I consider that unacceptable, that I felt I needed to do that, so I apologise. I'm also concerned about whether these councillors are actually going to have any say in what happens. When the big wheel came last year, it was actually, I'm told, please correct me if I'm wrong, but an unelected committee of street scene who approved it. Those people have not been elected by the public. They don't have the knowledge and experience of these people here. Councillors and the public need more information on what delegated authority is going to be. We've been told that the delegated authority has been given to two people to put forward these temporary attractions, one being Councillor Skinner and I believe the other being Richard Cohen. What I want to know is, when it comes to making decisions on this, who is going to have the delegated authority? Is it going to be them? Will it be delegated authority, or will it be street scene?
Thank you. Can I thank all members of the public for their contributions to this debate? I refer back, this is in respect of application 17/2944 full, which was on the addendum, land at Queen's Drive, east of Ocean Building. Temporary use of land, buildings and structures for a 12-month period for the purposes of entertainment, recreation and leisure, to also include the permanent infilling of existing boating ponds plus all associated infrastructure and development. I've received no comments from statutory consultees and no written representations. However, I have received a number of representations from councillors who do not attend this particular committee, asking for this to be deferred. I would just like to refer to the town clerk for the reasons why we cannot defer this item. Thank you.
Councillors should be reminded that if you defer your decision on this application, you may not get an opportunity to submit your views. And you'll recall that this happened on an application relating to Queen's Drive previously. You asked if you could defer the decision or the recommendation, and then planning at East Devon wouldn't accept it and you lost your opportunity. So I would urge you to submit a recommendation in one form or another.
Thank you. Councillor Bill Nash.
Thank you, Chairman. Maybe some of the reasons we've not had a lot of correspondence on this is because it's the Christmas New Year period and it appears that the application is being pushed through at this time, where the Town Council does not have an opportunity or even the resident of Exmouth to comment, apart from some of the people that have come this evening. There was one letter received from one of the ward members, Councillor Williamson. He couldn't be here tonight, but he said he wanted to speak because he'd had a lot of people phoning him. He's very concerned about, on the Blue Zone, the large cinema screen, concerts, fairs, all sedentary activities not active, therefore contrary to the activity-based recreation for which the area was designed. And apart from that, he goes on to say, you need to consult residents who might be affected by noise and late evening attractions. There is also the need for the town council to set out restrictions of what is and what isn't allowable. Now, I propose to object to this presentation, this application. I agree, we cannot defer it. We've got to make a decision. So either we accept it or we object to it. Well, I strongly object to it on the following grounds. Basically, there is insufficient information for a decision to be made, and I would ask the applicant to withdraw this application and resubmit it. I think this is evident by reading the large report, the Haynes report, in the associated documentation, which basically is a blank sheet of paper if you read every word and every paragraph. I think where they state, and I quote, at this stage, because the end users, operators, have not been specified, then the precise extent, nature of the uses and structures cannot be identified. Well, how can we give approval on something if we don't know what it is? To the point that we don't know if they're food outlets, what sort of food outlets, how many, what size they would be. As far as the play equipment is concerned, we've no idea. On this planning application, there's some pictures. Perhaps, Ron, you can show the pictures that came along with this planning application, which had been seen before and are no more than a series of cutouts from a magazine showing all sorts of things around the country. In fact, a dossier made up, and frankly, I would say a fake dossier, because it bears no relevance to what might be put in Queen's Drive. Therefore, the other thing I'd like to say is that the applicant will need to have firm proposals. Yes, all these pictures are just pictures taken from various magazines and put together. It's unlikely any of that will appear in Queen's Drive. In fact, we don't know what's going to appear in Queen's Drive, and EDDC, or the person putting this application in, doesn't know either. So therefore, we need to have further proposals on, firstly, what the equipment and temporary buildings are. I notice that the existing food hut that's on the old playground is going to be refurbished. What do they mean by refurbished and enlarged? There must be a specification on this before we can give approval. Where are all these things going to be placed on the site? There's no, on the zones, no indication what goes where. There's a slight suggestion we might put large television screens up on the blue zone and so on, but not very satisfactory. The most important thing, that if there are going to be activities such as fairs, televised concerts, football matches, etc., etc., timings have got to be given. This is not only a residential area, it's also a conservation area backing on to. That is a conservation area. And any outside public performances must be limited and time factors given. You cannot have football matches with licensed bars and food halls and hundreds of people cheering and shouting at midnight in a residential area. And also, we do need specific detail of the what's going to be placed in the three zones, the red zone, the green zone, and the blue zone. So on that basis, Madam Chairman, I would like to object, and I'd like as many of these things as I've said put back to the applicant so they can withdraw this application, get their facts together and put it through properly to us.
Thank you. Councillor Muddy Chapman.
Thank you, Chairman. I think Mr Cohen has already been told when we had a meeting at the region here that we objected to the site being split into three in the first place. We don't see the need for food outlets, temporary or otherwise, down on the seafront, and also they might find themselves in trouble due to their new licensing rules and costs, so they will be in trouble there. I can understand if they want to put chairs and coffee and soft drinks for parents while their children are playing. It is the children's play area. It shouldn't be split in three. I agree with the lady there. I don't like the permanent filling in of the ponds. I don't mind temporary filling in to make them safe so no child falls in. But when it goes out to public consultation, the public might decide that they want to put fountains in or they want to put water chutes in for the children to play. And therefore, whatever is filled in the pond should be able to be moved out and the ponds realigned and redone for whatever the public consultation comes forward with. So permanent filling, I am totally against. Also, as I've said, blocking it off into three, no, we don't agree with that. It's not part of what the public consultation for the master plan put forward. I know as it's temporary, the master plan doesn't apply, but public opinion does. And so therefore, you know, somewhere to have a drink where parents can sit while their children are perhaps running around and grandma and granddad can sit and have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. I think that's fine. So until we get more information and East Devon District Council officers get their act together, I too will refuse this application.
Councillor Jerry Nicholas.
Yes. Oh, sorry. I'm of the same mind to refuse, purely partly what the ladies that sat there, she realised that you can't make a decision if you're only given a minute bit of information on a Friday before, hopefully, like some of us were away or so, you know, you just don't have time to sit, do your research or anything else. What disappoints me more than anything else is that East Devon District Council has not learnt anything from the bitter complaining that we have done. And those of us with that are representative there at East Devon District Council would know that Maddie and I, for a start, and I'm sure Brenda and Bill, we've all done our lobbying of individuals and saying, you can't just do this because you're doing it on a whim. We've won a few battles, not enough to make me happy. So I'm 100% in agreement, and I would like to see whatever they want to put on to the located food halls, I would like to see that incorporated with the children's free play area, for starters, and other entertainment for the crowds with limited hours, if you like, so it doesn't annoy the people that live up behind there and that. No, I don't particularly want either Woodstock or I'm that old. I'm a delayed hippie. Or a rave, if you like. We get that on the festival. Well, that's if we can persuade them to reduce the licences again. But anyway, I am registering my objection as well.
Councillor Rothmeisting.
Yes, yeah, I fully agree with the views expressed so far. So I'm also disappointed that because it was very clear that the councillors at East Devon voted against the infilling of the pool for the purpose of a storage area for the road realignment, and it seems to me this is a thinly veiled scheme to do exactly that, and that's I shall vote against it as well. Thank you.
Any other councillors that wish to speak? Councillor Tim Dumper.
Yes, certainly do, Chair. Yes, I came to this meeting tonight with the idea that I would be asking for a deferral. And the reason I was going to ask for a deferral was because we're at a difficult time of year. I mean, it's great that so many members of the public have actually managed to marshal some arguments and come in and represent them here. But there are many other people out there, I'm sure, who would want to have their say. The other thing I'd like to say about having read through all of this, and this is seems to me to be the second time that we've had an application being described as a reserved matter, as a full application, when in fact this one is only really an outline matters. Most of it, I mean, there are one or two odd proposals, like the filling in of the ponds, like the big TV screen, which are positive proposals. But otherwise, this is an outline thing, and we would need more detail. I mean, I agree with what everyone else said, and bearing in mind the way the debate has gone, then I will most certainly support Bill's proposal of objecting to this application.
Councillor Brunter-Taylor.
Just briefly to say I agree with everything that's been said, but I do feel that the arrogance of the East Devon officers and the way that they tried to push these things through on a Friday, I mean, I was away for a couple of days, and I got back last night, there were seven messages on my phone. The phone was ringing when I came in. And, you know, how can we deal with that? How can we just haven't got the time from Friday till tonight to get round everything, besides the other planning applications. So I really think that they're completely out of order, and this is not the first time that they've done it.
No.
And I do feel that we've got the officers there that have got far too much weight, far too much say, and after all, we're the elected ones, and we should have the time to discuss it and put our ideas forward.
Thank you. I think we all concur, I think. So, do you want to say something further, Councillor Nash?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Just what people have said. Obviously, I think it should be realised that in this document, it's a pretty meaty document. It says, we have engaged with the Council's planning department in terms of clarifying the extent of the uses. I didn't know it was the planning department that decide on what's going to go into towns, villages, for the use and benefit of the residents. And furthermore, they also say the fact that the uses are temporary, whilst the council seeks to implement the permission approvals outlined above, means that they should be considered acceptable. No, that's not the way democracy works.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for your opinions on this particular application. It's been proposed by Councillor Bill Nash and seconded by Councillor Maddy Chapman that we refuse this application on the basis that there's insufficient information for a decision to be made and the precise nature of the events has not been identified. Neither have we got any detail concerning the proposals to any temporary buildings. And there's also obviously concern regarding the timings of any particular entertainment or other items that may go on this particular site. I would also, with the members' permission, to add that we are concerned that this came in on Friday and that we were in a position that we couldn't defer. And I think we should register that with the East Devon District Council, that we had insufficient time ourselves to be able to actually see the representations that were made to us. I certainly had a lot today, and I had quite a few over the weekend that I'll concur with Councillor Taylor, that it's not been possible for me to be able to speak to all of those that have tried to contact me. And therefore, I don't think that, as Councillor Nash has said, it's not very democratic if we can't actually gauge the opinion of the public. So I therefore would, as I say, it's been proposed and seconded for refusal on those grounds, and I would like to put that rider in concerning this particular application. All those in favour? Any against? No. Thank you, members.
Can I just add that we don't want the ponds permanently filled till after the public consultation?
I'm quite happy.
Because it was turned down by DMC.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm quite happy to add, Councillor Chapman. If we could add that, please. Thank you. And we'll go on with the rest of the agenda, and if the members of the public wish to leave, they may do so. I'll now go back to the agenda. The minutes of the meeting held on the 4th of December 2017 have been circulated. There's one correction in the fact that Councillor Tony Hill was marked as being present, but he was, of course, not at the meeting. So with that alteration, are everybody happy that that's a true record of the last meeting, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Move on to declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensation. Are there any members that wish to declare any interest on any items on the agenda, please? I have one, which is application 17/2081 full, the Old Orchard, 8 Foxholes Hill. The present owner of that property is known to me. Through my work and also personally through being a trustee of Exmouth Welfare Trust. There are no items of urgent business. So move on to consider the planning application. Firstly, Brixington Ward, application 17/2916 full, 101 St John's Road, proposed single-storey extension and change of window frame colour throughout. There are no statutory consultee comments and there's no representations. Councillor Nicholas?
And it's another lot. I think that's the one where everything's. If you look at some of the. No, that, they only had two in there, didn't they? This is the one that's only got two entries on there. It's this one and the map. But, I mean, they're not wanting to go up a story. They're all bungalows around there anyway. Yeah. I think that's all right.
It's just infilling one area. Sorry, are you happy to propose approval in that case?
I propose to.
Okay.
I'll second.
Thank you. Propose and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? No. Before I go on, can I just suggest, obviously Councillor Chapman cannot see the screen. Do you want to move somewhere where you can see the screen?
You shut the lights off?
Yeah. We'll obviously have to sort this out at a future time, because certainly we've only got one laptop at the moment that works.
Now because the table's not sliding backwards and forwards.
No, it's just we'll obviously have to resolve the issue of being able to. We will have two laptops eventually, but it's not working properly. But if you go this way, Maddie, can you be very careful you don't fall over this wire? Does it probably make sense so that you can see? Yeah, also makes sense that you can actually see the screen.
They should have a map there, actually, shouldn't they?
Yeah, well, we should be able to do it Wi-Fi eventually, but we can't at the moment. So if you just be careful. Okay. Are you okay where you are, or do you want to sit the other side? Okay. Right. Thank you. Right, next application is 17/2280 full, which is on your addendum, which is 46 Ivydale. A retrospective application for the construction of a conservatory to the rear and side elevation. There are no statutory consultee comments and we have no representations. Councillor Nicholas?
And apart from anything else, you can't even see it from the road. But it's, once again, it's the group of bungalows there, and they're not, the neighbours haven't complained yet. Nobody seems to complain, and there's still a path in between them, so. But it's retrospective, and that's what I object to.
Yes.
I think we've made quite a few points to East Devon District Council about retrospective planning applications, and I understand that it's something that is actually being taken up now at East Devon District Council. Councillor Chapman? Okay, so it's proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Now to the Holsden Ward, application 17/2582 full, 188A Exeter Road, proposed single story holiday let. This is one we have had on a number of occasions with various additional items coming forward. We have no further representations, but we do have a comment from East Devon District Council Trees Department, which I'll ask the Town Clerk if she'll summarise for us.
So the East Devon District Council Tree Officer has said that he's got no objection to this application, subject to a condition requiring implantation of the submitted Aspect Arboricultural Method Statement and Tree Protection Plan, including an arboricultural site monitoring assessment.
Thank you. This is just an addition to the further application that we had. Councillor Tim Dumper.
Yeah. Thanks, Lynn. yes, I can't see a problem with it, and I mean, I'll propose approval.
I'm happy to second. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? No. Thank you. Now move to the next application is 17/2735 full. The White House, Courtlands Lane, extension of living accommodation within footprint of existing conservatory, construction of paved terraces. There are no representations. Councillor Dumper?
Yeah, I had a look through. I mean, I know the houses anywhere along there. I wasn't quite sure exactly how much extension they were doing there. It was all a bit of a slightly confused plan. I don't know whether we ought to ask for better detailed delineation or whatever.
I have to say, I personally felt it was unclear what impact it would have on other properties, because I had difficulty with this particular plan. It's not clear, is it?
No, I struggled with this one as well.
Yes, I saw those sort of big blocky diagrams that looked a bit ultra mod, really, in the way it's. Not that I'm objecting to that in particular, but.
It looked the footprint was agreed, particularly.
Yeah, and I mean the previous conservatory looked to me as if it was a fairly standard conservatory of its time, if you like. But I mean this is a more a bit avant-garde, really.
I think when I looked at it, I thought, well, there's so many different houses along Courtlands Avenue of all different styles. You couldn't say it was out of keeping with other houses in the area. So,
and the other thing is, you've got the field behind, so I mean, you're not.
So, on balance, I have to say I was going to propose approval, but.
Well, I'll second that. Okay.
So, proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Next application is 17/2742 full, 47 Holsden Avenue, replacement of existing rear conservatory. For rear extension, insertion of side-facing dormer and replacing of existing porch. Again, I have visited this one, and it's similar actually to quite a lot of the others in the in Halton Avenue that have made these changes, but I had one concern with the property next door. But Councillor Dunpar, I don't know.
Yeah, having looked at it, I didn't see there was very much concern, to be honest, and I'd second approval.
I propose and second for approval. All those in favour? Any against? No, thank you. Next application 17, oblique 28884, Phillips Avenue. Construction of two-storey porch and additional dormer window. There are no comments and no representations. Councillor Dunpar?
Yeah, I was. I looked again at this. I mean, I've seen the evolution, we all have, the evolution of this building. Personally, I think that two-storey porch is definitely out of keeping with Phillips Avenue, and I for that reason, I would oppose that aspect of it. The dormer window, I'm not so worried about, and that would, you know, that would be.
I'll actually concur. It is very much out of keeping, particularly with that part of Phillips Avenue, which is all mainly bungalows and and lower properties, actually, than that particular one, which is on the end. So I'm happy to concur and I'll second refusal. So proposed and seconded for refusal. Those in favour? Against? No, thank you. Now move to Litland Ward. Application 17, oblique 2525, variance, Orcombe Lodge, 12 Foxholes Hill. Variation of condition 2 of the approved plans of planning permission 16, oblique 2036, variance, to allow additional windows and doors, rear dormer window and glazing with Juliet balcony to unit 2, a new enclosed balcony, bifold doors and lower levelled garden to unit 4. We have got comments from statutory consultees, which I'll ask the town clerk to summarise for you.
So Highways do not wish to comment, but the East Devon District Council tree officer has cited that he has no objection, subject to explicit reference to condition 10 of the approval that was granted in 2016 under 16 oblique 2036 oblique VAR, which covers matters relating to tree protection.
Councillor Bill Nash.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, there have been no comments from anyone living in the area, and other ward comments. It's quite important what the tree officer has said. He's basically saying it's okay, because this variation doesn't really affect, but it is imperative that they do protect the trees while they're doing this extra work. As I say, there's been no complaints, and these things are relatively minor on the conversion of this house by putting in windows, dormer window, and the Juliet balcony. So I would say move it for approval.
Okay. I'm happy to second, subject to obviously the continuance of the East Devon District Council tree officer's comments. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Next application is 17, oblique 2702 full, 39 Litlam Road. Demolition of existing garage, store and construction of new residential dwelling together with improvements to existing vehicular access and car parking arrangements. There's no representations, but we do have a comment from a statutory consultee, which the town clerk will summarise.
So the County Highway Authority have commented that the proposed development has been subject to pre-application advice by the County Highway Authority, and whilst off-road parking is not a prerequisite by the County Highway Authority on Litlam Road, the proposal offers improvements to the existing off-street parking and it maximises the available visibility in both directions. Therefore, it could be said that this is a benefit in highway safety terms.
Thank you. Councillor Nash?
Yes, Chairman. Visited this property on several occasions, basically because next door to it, the old bungalow has been taken down and there are, I think it's 11 small bungalows going up. And there was a query right from the beginning about the access into number 39. However, interesting, they're going to build another house in their plot. At first, you wouldn't have thought there was enough space. By the time they take the garage down, and it's narrow but long, their garden, they can get it in, they're going to blend it in. It's been done before, this sort of add-on at the end of a row of terraces, so it's not unique in the area. There have been no comments or complaints from anyone at all. The highways comment was important because it now means, whereas it was dangerous before, and with the new access for the new houses, both have been looked at, and so it's a great improvement as far as road safety up there. So I would be quite happy to move for approval.
Thank you. I'm happy to second. Opposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? No. Next application is 17, oblique 2768 full, 2 Delderfield Gardens, construction of detached garage and 2-metre high boundary fence. There are no representations, but we do have a comment from the statutory consultee, East Devon District Council tree officer, which I'll ask the town clerk to summarise.
So the tree officer has reported that there has been the loss of 2 trees prior to the submission of the application for the detached garage and fence. And any planning approval should make provision to mitigate for the loss of these trees through appropriate landscaping conditions. There are a number of other small to medium trees which could be damaged or lost as a result of the proposed scheme. Therefore, they will require a tree protection plan and a short arboricultural method statement detailing how the proposed scheme will be constructed to avoid damage to retained trees, and this will be required prior to any planning approval. In principle, they have no objection to the proposed garage subject to the above, but they do have significant reservations over the impact of the proposed fence on the adjacent street scene, which will result in the loss of the Escalonia hedge and bank on which it grows, and potentially negatively impact on the adjacent trees. A number of measures could be considered to reduce this impact. One is to locate the fence on the garden side of the hedge bank. 2 is to provide space on the roadside of the fence for new planting to establish in front of the fence or over the fence in conjunction with new tree planting. And the third option is to remove the fence from the application.
Thank you. Councillor Bill Nash.
Yes, Chairman. There are 3 things here going on. One is a new drive, as you can see up on the screen, leading to the new garage. Of interest, they already have a garage, large garage in the house, which I assume later would be turned into another room. The main concern with this application, I think, Ron's, if you could show that picture, showing the before and after of the fence and the hedge and the bank. Give it a bank. No, it's the proposed, and it shows the fence at the bottom of it. No, it wasn't that long ago. Yes, that's it. Congratulations. This one is, as you can see clearly on the left, is the very lovely hedge and bank stretching along Salton Road at the edge of this property. They've already taken some trees down. The tree officers mentioned this. I checked. They were not protected trees. There are no TTPOs on. But it looks all they want to do is defoliate the whole area and put up this 2-metre-high acoustic fence. Now, they make a lot of play in their design access statement that they've taken DB monitoring of noise coming down Salton Road. In fact, they live on a quieter part of Salton Road than most people do. They also say because the ambulance station and fire engine station is up the road, well, it's a long way up the road, causes a lot of noise, which is absolute rubbish. It's just an excuse to put up a very big, unsightly fence, which will spoil the area, and as the tree officers have said, I don't think we should allow it. We're quite happy to allow their driveway, the garage, the extension onto their utility room, but not the fence. It must be done with trees, hedging, which can be quite soundproofing if they wish.
All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. So, next application is 17/2081 full, which was on the addendum, which is the old orchard, 8 Foxholes Hill, demolition of existing dwelling and the construction of 10 apartments, including basement, car parking and landscaping. There are no comments from statutory consultees and there's no representations. Councillor Bill Nash.
I can understand, Chairman, why there's no consultation comments at all from anyone, because this again has been pushed in just before Christmas, a massive development which takes hours to look through the documentation correctly. Having visited the site, what I was surprised to find is that the existing house, the old orchard, is not a very big house actually. And one would imagine, you can see it at the end of that drive, the drive goes right the way up, so you're looking at the house in the middle there with a bit of ground around it. A very pleasant garden, not exactly large. It took me 22 seconds to walk around the whole garden. They're proposing to rip down the house and put up 10 houses of 3 stories. I think there's one word, overdevelopment. And if you want to look at them, Ron can show you what they look like on there. Absolutely incredible how you can shoehorn in something like that.
Thank you. Proposed and seconded for refusal on the basis of overdevelopment of the site. All those in favour? Any against? No, thank you. It's only because I know the applicant. I know the father of the applicant. To Town Ward, application 17/2493 full, Manor Hotel, garages, Beaton Place. Demolition of existing garages and redevelopment of forecourt to form 3 new apartments over modified existing parking. There are no comments from statutory consultees and there's no representations. Councillor Masding. Councillor Nash.
Yes, I agree with Rob. My only fear is that at the moment it's a fairly open space here. Looks a bit like a bomb site, actually. But we need housing, so I fully support that. My only concern is that they are taking up the whole area, impinging on the neighbours to their left and their right, and they're taking light away. That's a good one, Ron, so you had up there. No, the one before. That one. Yes, that shows that you're not, so to the left and right are existing buildings, and suddenly you've got this very massive building going up in the middle. I'm concerned, Rob, about the light, but you don't own a view, and I did say they've think there's enough light going in, but I'm happy to support it if you're happy.
So it's the main windows to the church are actually on the opposite side of the church, so they will not be affected greatly by the loss of light on the church.
So proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. And one abstention. Next application is 17/2917 full, 44 Roll Street. Change of use from storage to Class A2 financial and professional services with associated works. There are no comments from statutory consultees or representations. Councillor Masding.
Yes, the address is a bit familiar. I have no objection to this. I propose approval.
So, proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Thank you. Next application is 17/2918, full Crispies, 57 Exeter Road, installation of replacement doors. There is no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. Councillor Masding.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes, we've already discussed the changes at Crispies and we approved their changes. I have no objection to this. I propose approval.
Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Next application is 17/2307 full. Manor Hotel The Beacon. Alterations to convert the shower room and storage room into a new bedroom en suite. The amended plan is just brick and ground floor details. We did have the application at the meeting of the Town Council Planning Committee on the 4th of December when we had no objection. There are no representations since that time. Councillor Masding? It was on the addendum that we had. Okay. Well, it's similar to we had at the previous meeting. It's just actually a slight amended plan saying brick and ground floor details. But Councillor Nash?
Yes, it we've already passed this once. And assuming it's the same room... It's not another room they're trying to convert. Yeah. It's got to be the same room. There was some problems at the bottom on the previous plans about damping, proofing and putting damp. Yeah, and so that's what they've done now on this. So prove it if everyone's happy.
Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. The next application is again on the addendum. It's 17/2931. 3 North Street, proposed front dormer, rear dormer and balcony on existing flat roof. There are no representations and no comments from statutory consultees. Do you want to see the plan as you've obviously not seen the addendum?
Yes.
Yeah, if you could put that one up please, Ron.
So what was it? They're putting a dormer on the rear there.
Proposed front dormer, rear dormer and balcony on the existing flat roof. So the front dormer presumably would be somewhere near school. So.
Yeah.
Here. balcony on existing flat roof.
So it seems likely that there'll be an access point from the rear dormer onto that flat roof so that they can utilise the balcony there. So they're making the roof of the existing thing into another balcony higher up. Yeah, it depends what's overlooked at the back, really.
There is actually anything.
Location is.
This particular one looks as if there's nothing behind, actually. As far as I can see, there's nothing behind there.
No.
In which case, I'm happy to propose approval.
Yeah, I think I'm happy to second that. There doesn't appear to be anything behind at all. It seems to be actually a vacant space behind, according to that. Because then it goes behind two properties, and then there's nothing. Yeah.
So you've got the library here, the side of it, and the entrance to the library.
There's nothing right behind, is there? Because it's just an open space, goes all the way behind the. Yeah. Mm. Okay, I'm happy to second in that case. So proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? Okay. The next application is Withycombe Raleigh Ward, which is planning application 17/2823 full, Bapton Farmhouse, Bapton Lane, construction of three-storey rear extension. Councillor Taylor?
Yes, I've been up today. I was a bit concerned when it said a three-storey extension, but it's fine because it's directly on the back of the house, and I think they're only going to put two storeys in at this stage. Could you just put there's loads of room there. It won't affect anyone. It's the cat motor, the cat's place, it's a big site and they want to put that on the end.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether they give you any more detail of the height of it, but I think they're only going to put two stories in at the moment, but if need be, because there's a room in the roof part there. No, I think that's all they're going to do. I think it'll be fine. And there's no windows overlooking anyone or anything. No, but I can.
You went up there.
Because I've been up
there. There's a lot of space around it, isn't there?
I've been up, there is. So, I'll recommend approval.
Okay. Happy to second, Councillor Dunphy, second. So proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Now move on. Then there was an item for consideration, and this was the new development in Salterton Road, where I read the letter that we had received. The very part that we were saying was the confusion was calling it Crown Field, where the rest was Crown Field. But I see these suggestions they've given us. Still Crown Field. They seem to have missed the point that we were trying to make.
Totally
that,
obvious.
Yeah.
That would be so confusing.
Yeah, and the actual letter which came, which actually said the proposed name of Cranford Field is duplicating existing street names, the development using a variation of terminal of Avenue Close or View, Cranford Avenue, Cranford Close, Cranford View. The developers put forward a new suggestion of Cranfield Close. But there's a Cranford Close, and I just That to me is more confusing than we started. So I have to say I'm inclined to write back and say, you know, what the our main point is that Cranfield is so near to Cranford.
We did have a very good suggestion. It was so good I've forgotten what it was. Anyone remember?
Well, we said Cranford Field, which they're saying duplicating existing street names because we've got Cranford Avenue, Cranford Close, Cranford View. So we suggested Cranford Field. Well, they've come back and say that this could have a detriment effect in an emergency situation. So the developer suggested the new suggestion of Cranfield Close, which to my mind would be more confusing for emergency services than the Cranford. So I think, is everybody happy that we go back again and say that what we're objecting to is that Cranfield is so near to Cranford? Yeah. Yeah. Well, we came up with a Cranford Field because we thought, well, Cranford is, you know, unless we just say that we want it to be called Cranford something, you know, rather than, I mean, it's a Cranfield being, isn't it, that we're, so perhaps we'll go back and...
Why are they asking us if they're not going to listen?
Well, they seem to, what they've got gone on is the fact that we said Cranford Field and they've said that Field is too near to Avenue Close and View, which... But they, what they seem to have hooked on is what the part of the last part, rather than the first part, where we said Cranford was so, you know, Cranfield was so near to Cranford, which actually I would say is more likely to confuse emergency services than, you know, if you've got a Cranford Close and a Cranfield Close. If you're on the phone, I have to say that, you know, now when I take calls with people, it's so close, isn't it, Cranford and Cranfield, if you're on the phone in an emergency. So. Yes. And then items for notification is for information is we've had an appeal that's been lodged by Mr. Andrew Hatfield in respect of the construction of the attached dwelling with land adjacent to 2 Langstone Drive, which actually we didn't object to, but East Devon refused. So that's, yeah. Then we got the information for proposed telecommunications cabinet at 145 Withycombe Village Road, which is just a proposed equipment cabinet, which is, they're doing quite a lot of these around the town, just updating equipment really, and I don't see a problem with that. And then we got the planning decisions with 26 Travis's Close, we had no objection, but East Devon have refused, and 1 Spinnaker's, where we had an objection, but they've given conditional approval. So, no. Probably need to look it up, but certainly I think one Spinnaker's, they have taken on board some of the points in the conditional approval, but the 26 Travishes, I haven't actually looked up what the reason for refusal, so I'll bring that back and make sure people are aware. And then there's obviously the Littleham Primary School, but we had no objection and they've given conditional approval. So there being no other items on the agenda, I'll close the meeting. Thank you.